Today on Real Radio.
You may never step foot in a church again. Just remember this. God loves you. His son went to the cross for you. And that hell was created for Satan and those who followed him. Those angelic fallen angels. He never intended humans to go there.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his topical series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? We're in sort of a series within a series, you might say, as Pastor Jack delivers a multi-part presentation called Is Hell Real? And What Is It Like? It seems that nearly everyone wants to believe in heaven, but not so much in hell. Well, the truth is, of all the people that show up in the Bible, Jesus himself spoke more about hell and eternal damnation than any of the others. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his series called Is Hell Real? And What Is It Like?
Things that are in the natural world speak of things in the spiritual world. You can throw seed out into the grass or out into the field, and what happens? The ground begins to go through that seed kernel, permeate it, chemical reaction takes place. That seed, in a second that it dies, launches out a little root, begins to grow from its death. From death comes life. It breaks through the soil, reaching upward toward the sun. And this is a cycle that goes on every day by the sowing of the seed. Listen, as people, we all know this. You don't have to be a Christian tonight to agree with me. If you go, if you lick these electrical devices right here, if you start licking them, and you go over there and you suck on the wall socket over there, I mean, your hair is going to be on fire. Your eyeballs are going to be popping out. Why? What did you do? You went and you did something, and in an instant, you got a reaction. Boom, that fast. Sometimes we think, well, I've been doing this thing for a long time, and nothing's happened yet. It must be okay. Watch out. Watch out. You can get a quick response by licking that wall socket. Or you can live a life in such a way that there'll come a time when the season begins to produce what we've been sowing. And you want to be careful. That is a spiritual and natural truth. Listen to this great quote I came across today. It says this, "We may be too busy now, but someday each and every one of us will find time to die." Can you imagine? Excuse me. Yes, what is it? It's time for you to die. I'm sorry. I've got way too much going on. Man, it's so simple. It's profound. It's true. But listen, hell sounds very extreme to us. I understand that. And this is what we have to receive by faith because the Bible says so. And I mentioned this to you last week, but I want to say it again. It sounds terribly extreme to us. But I think it's because we don't understand how terrible sin is. I think if you maybe visited or worked at the children's hospital or the ER at USC, and you'd see some of the things that people do to little children. Bible calls it sin. When a mother on drugs cuts the eyes out of her baby with a single-edged razor blade because she's stoned out on drugs. Where does that come from? No human does that to another human. It's the power of sin, and it's horrific. We think about Jesus' death, but I don't think we understand it enough. We think about God's holiness, but we don't get it enough. You guys, God is somehow not mean and angry and out of control because there are people in hell tonight. The Bible makes it clear that he didn't want them to go there. I think it's the cost of redemption for you and I, that God loved us so much that the price that was paid for you is so amazing that you and I don't grasp it. We don't get it. You are so valuable to God that his only son came from heaven to earth to pay a debt, to liberate us from the grave and from the confines of hell itself, that when we think about the word hell, or somebody mentions hell, or I can't believe in you Christians, you know, if you worship a God of love, then why is there people in hell? Oh my goodness, my friend, listen, God doesn't want anybody to go there. He has said that over and over again, and he sent his son Jesus so that people wouldn't go there. Well, then why are people there? They choose to be there. They say, I don't want him in my life. I'll think of some other way. Point number two is this, the purpose for hell. How can hell have a purpose? Well, before we get into the purpose, jot this verse down. The purpose for hell. Jot this verse down. 1 John 4:8. 1 John 4:8. God is love. What an awesome verse. So first of all, right there, regarding the purpose of hell, know this. The Bible says that God is love. There's no contradiction. God is love. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Bible says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The word repentance in Greek is the word metanoia. Look at that picture. Don't you love that? Look at that little guy walking away from God. He's got his little knapsack on, but there's a tear hanging off of that stick. And God's eye is there, and there's a tear coming from the eye of God. That's a great picture. But look at that verse and the actual meaning. For the Lord is long-suffering, extraordinarily patient toward you, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should turn, that has come to him in repentance. That Greek word is metanoia. It means to change your mind. It's no big super story. It means change your mind. Just change the way you think. Back up. Think again. And then John 3:17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Oh, friends, isn't that awesome? That's a beautiful, beautiful passage. That's a great, great note. So what is the purpose for hell? Number one, it's certainly this. It's to punish the demonic hosts. Did you know that? The Bible tells us in various places, but certainly the scripture makes it clear that hell was created for the devil and his fallen angels. Isn't that weird? You ever think of that? Wow. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, Revelation 12:3, it says, and another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads, and his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And most scholars believe that that is a reference to Satan. Well, we know that the fiery dragon, it goes on to say that it is Satan, but that the drawing of his tail swept with him a third of the stars of heaven speaks to angelic beings, because in the Old Testament, stars are referred to as angelic beings. Regarding the day that Satan is sent to hell or confined to hell, listen to this. Isaiah 14, verse 9. This is creepy. By the way, read the whole chapter of Isaiah 14 later. It'll creep you out. Read it right before you go to bed. The prophet is speaking about what Satan is about to experience. And listen to this. It says, hell from beneath is excited about you. This is Isaiah as a prophet of God speaking regarding Satan. Hell from beneath is excited about you. The word means in Hebrew that hell begins to stir because of your approach. Hell begins to get ready to receive Satan and his condemnation when he's confined there. Hell from beneath is excited about you to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you. Isn't that freaky weird? That's a good verse to have on an October night. Jude 6 says, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, their own dwelling place, God has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. These are set forth as examples suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Who? Fallen angels. That God has created hell for the devil and his angels. He never intended. My friend, listen, you may never step foot in a church again. Just remember this. God loves you. His son went to the cross for you. And that hell was created for Satan and those who followed him. Those angelic fallen angels. He never intended humans to go there. Matthew 25, 41 says, then he will also say to those who are on his left hand, this is in the day of judgment, depart from me, you cursed ones, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. God does not want any humans in hell. Another thing regarding the purpose for hell is not only the punishment of demonic hosts, but also to memorialize the nature of God. You say, what do you mean by that? Church, this is amazing. Get your finger going and go to Luke chapter 16. I'm gonna quote a verse from Psalms here in a moment, but go to Luke chapter 16. Turn in your Bibles. I'm going over there. The purpose for hell. You don't often think of it this way, but to memorialize the very nature of God. See, what do you mean by that? Well, Psalm 9:17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all those nations that forget God. Yikes. Now, Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Luke 16, 19. Jesus says, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. Now, that's not a sin. Jesus is just describing a man who's well off. He's got everything he needs. That's not the problem. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate. This is a situation Jesus personally knows about. Desiring to be filled with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. That's how poor this man is. And so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, the place of comfort. This is before Christ died on the cross. The rich man also died and was buried, and being in torments in Hades, or hell, he lifted, note this, the unbeliever, the man who happens to be rich, listen, if you're rich, it doesn't mean you're not a believer. This guy happens to be a rich, comfortable unbeliever. But now he's in hell. He lifts up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off. That's enough to freak me out. Can you imagine that in this place that where this man is at, in Luke chapter 16, he can see in the distance what's called Sheol. There's a place where this man is, Hades, and it's divided. Now, this is no longer the case now since Christ rose again from the dead. But there was the condemned, and there were those who were comforted in what is called Abraham's bosom, the place of paradise. Do you remember when Jesus said, I'll tell you what, do you remember when Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in? He didn't say heaven. He said paradise, two different names, two different words. Very amazing. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today, you're going to go with me, and we're going to go visit Abraham and all those who believed in my coming. And what else does the Bible tell us? That he led captivity captive. Man, I don't want to get too far off the track here, but this is fun stuff. When Jesus died on the cross, according to the Bible, that thief on the cross who died also, when he died, Jesus took him with him in the spirit. And it was announced, Jesus Christ announced to those who were in Abraham's bosom. Remember when Daniel died and when Noah died, Isaiah died, when believers died? They went straight to what's called paradise. It's not heaven, it's paradise. It's awesome. But the Bible announces that Jesus proclaimed the gospel, watch this, and then led captivity captive What does that mean? When Jesus died on the cross and went to Abraham's bosom, he wrapped up all those who previously had believed in him, that they believed Christ would come. Just like you now look back and believe in Christ, 2,000 years ago, now you look back, all those who looked ahead. King David was there. And King David was waiting for the Messiah and prophesying about the Messiah. Isaiah, Jeremiah, you go on and on through your Bible, believers. Rahab was there. Deborah was there. It's amazing. What happened? What happened? What happened? To lead captivity captive, it is a Roman term of victory. When a general captured a region or an enemy, he confiscated the goods and brought them into Rome. As the old term is booty, it's the rewards of battle. Well, Jesus captures all those who trusted in him, and this is cool, and then presented them in heaven for the first time. Redeemed souls entered heaven itself. That is exactly what the scriptures teach. That's exactly comforting. See, well, what's going on down there now where this guy is in Luke 16? Now today, as of this hour in the 21st century, as we jump back into this portion of Luke, this guy is still there right now at this hour. But those who trusted, it's vacant. Now it's empty. Why? Christ has risen. When Jesus speaks this, he had not yet died. He had not yet been risen from the dead. Did I freak you out? Did you guys track with that? Four of us are on track with that. Okay, where are we? Watch this. Verse 23, and being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And then he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things. And again, this is not the basis for why people go to hell. And likewise, Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. This is not karma. This is about belief. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a gulf fixed, immovable. There's a grand canyon between the two of us, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Verse 27 is amazing. Then the man said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Listen, people. Abraham said to the man, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But Abraham said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, listen, if they're not willing to hear the word of God that's been revealed, if they're not willing to read the Old Testament, remember, we're going back 2,000 years ago, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead. In hell tonight, you name it, whoever's in there, their theology is perfect tonight. They know more than you and I do. They have perfect theology. Do you think those people running around thinking that they were God, you think they still think that now? Oh my goodness. I know this is heavy stuff, but you know what? I can guarantee you this. You ain't going to get this in any other church. Ain't no church going to talk on hell. It doesn't draw people in. I mean, but you got to know this stuff, because for the believer, you want to be, whoo, man, praise the Lord, I'm not going there. You know? It's like getting to ditch that celebration at your relative's house or something, man. Oh, boy, I know what I'm missing. You know? I thought I'd say that as the holidays are approaching. Wickedness has its day of reward. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7, you guys okay?
Yes.
Everybody all right? I'm not getting a lot of love feeling tonight out of this meeting. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7, by the way, this is soon, the Lord Jesus is to be revealed. The word means that it's happening. The Lord Jesus is to be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. It's a reference to the second coming of Christ. Any eschatologists that are in here tonight, you're going to Bible college, Bible seminary, this is a very simple rule. 1 Thessalonians deals with the rapture. 2 Thessalonians deals with the second coming. Two completely different events. In 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8, he says, the Lord's coming back with the angels in flaming fire to take vengeance on those who do not know God. By the way, it's not like some poor nuts walking around unable to know God. It's like, I wish I knew God. Man, I wish I knew God. And then God comes and judges the guy. How come you didn't know me? That's not what it means. It's the exact same meaning to Romans chapter 1, where it says that though they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God. It means to know about God, but to turn and walk away from God. Remember the little picture of the man walking away and God's tear hanging out of his eye? Do you know about God? Have you flirted with God with some sort of logic? Well, you might be real. I don't know. Have you flirted with God when you were real close to getting in trouble and you said, God, help me? Have you kind of brushed near him when you really needed him to come through for you? You really needed that job and you said, oh, God, if you give me that job, I'll serve you. You knew about God, but you didn't know him. You never let him be personal in your life. The Bible says the Lord is coming back to execute vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence, notice, from the presence of the Lord. Some people have rightly described hell as being where God is not.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a scripture-based presentation that takes a look at a serious question that every individual has got to come to terms with at some point in life. Is hell real, and what is it like? It's a key part of Pastor Jack's series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, did you catch yesterday's Real Radio broadcast? I had a chance to sit down with Pastor Jack and his wife, Lisa, to talk about their new book called Turn Around at Home. You're going to like this book, Turn Around at Home, by Pastor Jack and Lisa Hibbs. Now, if you didn't hear the program, just visit realradioactive.org to catch Pastor Jack and Lisa talk about their new book called Turn Around at Home. Now, if you're a parent, or maybe you're a soon-to-be parent, and you've wondered, how can I move beyond this family pattern that I've grown up with? Well, it starts with a renewed mind about God's purposes. In other words, it starts with turning around, and that's what this book's all about. Now, here's our offer, because we really like to get our resources into people's hands. We'll send you Turn Around at Home, the new book written by Pastor Jack and Lisa Hibbs, for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. It's that simple. Just call, click, or write. Our telephone number, by the way, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can visit realradioactive.org to place your gift and request Turn Around at Home, the new book written by Pastor Jack and Lisa Hibbs. Or you can write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Now, of course, all that contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.